Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Horford, 2 for 2, and a steal.
Now, it's time to talk Celtics.
Celtics come roaring out of the gate.
This is the Sports Hub Celtics Show with Gasper and Murray. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Game on lock for sure.
And the Celtics messed around with this one for a while, but they became the Celtics again in the fourth quarter. They desperately needed a win. Marcus Morris called the shot, and the Celtics delivered tonight and scored a double-digit win. The final score, Boston 107, Washington 96.
We needed a win. There's no question about it. You try not to get too high or low in this. We had, you know, at least one four-game losing streak, maybe two last year. We've had them in the past. It's hard not to lose a couple of games in a row here and there just in this schedule and in the NBA. It was more concerning the way that we had played in some of those games. We were more encouraged with our Portland play. We felt like if we could back that up and play a little bit more free on the offensive end and make some shots, we would have a better chance.
All right, welcome into the Sports Hub Celtics Show. Jim Murray, no Chris Gasper, but joined alongside Tim McCone today. And you, if you'd like to chime in at 617-779-0985. Celtics snapped their four-game losing streak with their 107-96 win over the Washington Wizards last night at TD Garden. That is a happier-sounding head coach, Brad Stevens. After the win, you had Sean Grandy. He alongside Ashirod Blakely last night on the broadcast here on 98.5 of Sports Hub saying they became the Celtics again with that win. For those of you that weren't listening about an hour ago when the show began, Gasper and Mari, I said that I wanted to have a theme today over the duration of the 3 hours. That's applying common sense. Huh? We don't see enough common sense being applied in the world anymore. We're getting dumber as a society by the day. So let's sit back and take a deep breath, logically think about things, and apply common sense, shall we, to all the stories surrounding Boston sports. Let's do it with the Celtics. Again, they snapped the four-game losing streak. Yay, beat the Wizards last night. I'll start with you, McCone. So is everything right with the Celtics now? You taking the cheese? Everything good with the Celtics because they beat the Wizards at home?
No, that was the most uninspiring win I've seen in a long, long time. That was tough.
Thank you. Grandy's great, but like, come on, the Celtics became themselves again. Even some of the stuff I saw on social media last night, and I get it, that's Twitter, it's a sewer. But what the hell's wrong with you people? Like, not only are the Wizards like maybe the biggest garbage team in the league. You know, at least the Atlanta Hawks, who stink, at least they have Trae Young, who is now, with each passing game, especially in the month of February, go look at the stats, too, because he's been underrated.
It's absurd, yeah.
Yeah, like, they don't get any national love, nor should they. They're the Hawks. They stink. But he should be in the conversation for Rookie of the Year, not just Luka Doncic. It's not just a slam dunk, no pun intended. But at least they have an upcoming player in Young. Outside of Bradley Beal, the Wizards, they're an unwatchable disaster. Like, they should be relegated out of the league right now. And you're going to take something out of that? Like, I get it. Yay, they won. They stopped the bleeding. But to me, using common sense, again, that's the theme today. Like, you could have lost a lot more if you ended up losing that game. Like, how much am I supposed to take out of that last night? Especially when there's massive red flags, McCone. Like, as bad as the Wizards were, the Celtics eroded another big lead. I think it was as high as 15 points at one point last night. And in the second and third quarter, it's like, why am I watching, like, what is now a competitive game? What the hell has happened? Why am I seeing the same type of defensive lapses? Why is Marcus Morris nonstop with three-point shots? Mm-hmm. Just chuck, 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 chuck. Is that what you meant by soul? We're going to bring some soul back to win it? Just give it to me. I'm a black hole of chucking. That's what he has done. Marcus Smart, okay, good. Good that he was 4 for 4 from three. Bad that Marcus Smart was 4 for 4 from three because, oh, the confidence level, it never really drops. But now that he's hitting them again, well, there's going to be more of that going forward. You know what ends up happening there with the confident Marcus Smart. Love him. Love everything else that he brings to the game, but stop shooting. Gordon Hayward. Gordon Hayward now has five shot attempts in two games. Look at the minutes. Oh, he's out there. He's not really doing anything. So I'm sorry. I can't. Sorry, not sorry. Like, I can't take too much. That's a positive out of last night's game. I can't. That is nice that they stopped the bleeding. They stopped the losing streak. But talk to me after the next couple of games. We have the Houston Rockets at home tomorrow. And then Tuesday night, it's at the Golden State Warriors. You have the ever frisky Sacramento Kings at home next Thursday. I think it's what? Then the Clippers and the Lakers again out west. Like, you're dealing with teams that are fighting for a playoff spot, the bottom of that Western Conference. Like, let's see what happens over the next week. I'm not taking the cheese with this one game last night because, and I don't know how you looked at the red flags I mentioned, the Morris taking, I think it was 11 threes on 17 shots last night. And then Gordon Hayward, what the hell has gone on with him? Like, there's still some glaring negatives with this team.
No, I'm with you. I think the Marcus Morris thing obviously was a red flag. And then, look, Gordon Hayward, I thought he was really turning a corner going into the All-Star break. And clearly, since he's come back and obviously he was hurt during that break, has not been the same player what you thought he was going to be. And honestly, I think at this point, this season for Hayward, like, it's not going to happen. You're not going to get Gordon Hayward the way you thought you were going to at this point in the year. And my biggest thing with this team is just the chemistry. Honestly, like, you look at this team and coming out against the Blazers and certainly last night, that should be an engaged team that wants to just blow doors off of these teams. And both times, it seems like you're getting uninspired efforts. I'm a huge UConn fan, and I know no one cares about UConn basketball here, but I go back to 2011 with Kemba Walker, and they weren't necessarily the most talented team, but they played together. They win the championship. Next year, they get a one-and-done guy in Andre Drummond, and the chemistry just isn't right. And Even from a talent perspective, they should have been awesome, and they got bounced in the first round of the NCAA tournament, and it was just kind of meh the whole season. No one liked each other. This is the vibe I get, honestly. I think it starts with Kyrie Irving. I think that there's a rift between the locker room and Kyrie, and that just kind of permeates through the whole thing, and you just kind of get this, we're going to roll it out, and whatever happens, happens.
Yeah, I'm with you in that it is now, I think you can, because what are we at, 63, 64 games that they've now played? I mean, you know, there's not much left in the regular season. Like, it's not going to happen for Gordon Hayward. I think we can chalk it up to a lost season, unfortunately, for Gordon Hayward. Hopefully he finds himself. We've seen some flashes, and this is what kind of sucks with what's going on with him in this past week, or since they've come back from the All-Star break, because the two games prior, it was like, oh, well, it's the real Gordon Hayward. Yep. And I was more impressed with the second game before the break. I think it was against Detroit, if I recall correctly. 18 points, got to the line 8 times. Like, he was aggressive. It was like, whoa, okay, this is Gordon Hayward. And then they go on the All-Star break. He trips and falls at practice or whatever the hell happens. And he hurts himself. And it's back to what we saw in the first few months of the season. It's just, it sucks for him. It sucks for Celtics fans. And it just, I think for the organization right now, too, I would think it's okay for them to be sweating a little bit and be like, oh my God, like, what have we done? Granted, there was a freak injury. There's nothing you can do about that. But man, like, it's okay for them to say, like, oh, we might have made a massive mistake here, you know, like, because it just doesn't seem like, at least for this season, it looks like it's just going to be lost.
Yeah, and I don't know what the play is. Like, you're paying him so much money. He's obviously Brad Stevens' guy. You want him out there, but he just, like you said, what was it, 24 minutes last night, 2 shot attempts?
Yeah.
Like, he's giving you nothing out there, nothing.
And what he, you have to be delusional to try to even make a case for, well, you know, he made some plays as a passer. That's why you have Gordon Hayward?
Right.
That's why you're paying him this mountain of money? Again, I understand it's a freak accident, but there's been flashes here. We're so late in the season, I'm sorry. Like, I don't want to hear excuses about that anymore. Those two games before the All-Star break, Gordon Hayward looked fine. He looked like real Gordon Hayward. It's a timidness thing. It's a lack of aggression. 5 shots, attempts in 2 games? What the hell is going on with this guy? Luke in Vermont, can you make Gordon Hayward, like, what can you attribute to the lack of
aggression? It's so troubling, and you're right, Jim, because he was aggressive in those first 2 games. He looked athletic. And I know Matt talked about it, and I agreed with him. Defensively, he looked better because early in the year, everybody was picking on him. And the game that stands out, I don't know if you guys remember this, but they played Utah, and Joe Ingles just piped him down the whole game. And it's like, Joe Ingles is going at Hayward. He was in the D-League. But Hayward's a major problem for this team. Kyrie looked so disinterested. Like, he's like, he knows everyone's talking about how they're winning games without him. So he's like, fine, I just won't shoot. And he's out there, like, passing every time, like 10 assists in the first half. That's him obviously being like, fine, you guys think I shoot too much. You don't want it to be about me. there's a major issue with Kyrie there, and I hate to see it because I love Kyrie. He was like my favorite player in the league, and I was so excited when he came to Boston. But it's demoralizing. Like, I don't know if you guys watched him walk off the court at halftime or the Kyrie interview after the game. He couldn't even pick his head up. All you saw was the Uncle Drew on his hat. Like, it's not a good look at all for them right now. That win was so dirty to barely beat a tanking Washington team. Embarrassing. I have tickets tomorrow, and I'm almost afraid to go.
Oh, no, Luke, you should, and thanks for the call. I appreciate it. I was always one of our better Celtics callers here to the Sports Hub, Luke in Vermont. You should go. That Sunday afternoon game, even if they kind of suck and they annoy the hell out of you right now, like, you should go. I wish I was going. That's always a great take. The Sunday afternoon, you get in early, you head around the garden, you get tanked. That's one of the great things to do in this city once, you know, the calendar turns, you start to get to spring, even though it continues to snow and it's March. Go have yourself a time. I gave up tickets last night, and I couldn't be happier. Oh. Granted, again, yay, they snapped the losing streak. But I like the way that Luke just summed it up. It felt like a dirty win. It did. Ugh. And he was right, too. The body language on Kyrie. Well, you're reading into body language? Yes, it's what we do. Using common sense here. Use it yourself. Apply rational thinking. Kyrie, after the game, couldn't even pick his head up. Just here, show off the dumb little cow there for the Uncle Drew hat. And then, you know, when he's also pitching his vegan lifestyle, it's just about him. He has been a diva. Love him. Wildly talented. But, man, I'm with you, McCone. There is a discourse between him, the young players, and that locker room. The whole thing just feels dirty.
Yeah.
Like last night's win. Let's get some more insight on last night's win, though, because there were some good things. Like Jaylen Brown, the play of Jaylen Brown. But why does he continue to sort of be in the doghouse of Brad Stevens? Why isn't he in the starting five and Morris on the bench? We'll get some answers to that. What's going on with Gordon Hayward as we talk to Chris Forsberg, who covers the team for NBC Sports Boston. We'll do that along with more of your phone calls coming up at 617-779-0985. It's the Sports Hub Celtics Show here on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
This is the Sports Hub Celtics Show.
This is Jaylen Brown, home of the Boston Celtics basketball, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Jaylen Brown, pretty good looking at a right side three. Got it. Jaylen Brown hasn't had his number called a lot tonight. Knocks this one down. Celtics lead 85-83. He's just found last year's Jaylen Brown.
He was really tough. He was into the ball. Didn't have a great shooting night, as a lot of us didn't have a great shooting night. But I thought, for the most part, really played with great purpose. And I thought really took the challenge of guarding Bradley Beal in the fourth quarter and did a good job on it.
Sports Up Celtics Show, 98.5 of Sports Up. Jim Murray, no Chris Gasper today. With Tim McCone alongside as well. So he might not have shot well, but Jaylen Brown provided a bit of a spark, especially defensively for the Celtics in their win over the Wizards last night. That is, I think, the biggest bright spot for them. I want to get a little bit more insight on Brown's night and why he's not in the starting five. Courtesy of Chris Forsberg, NBC Sports Boston, joins us here on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Hello, Chris.
What's up? What's going on?
Not too much. So help me with this, because Jaylen Brown, to me, even during this ugly stretch here prior to last night's win, has been maybe the best Celtic. And he continues to be coming off the bench while Marcus Morris just keeps bombs away and shooting and shooting and shooting. And I feel like, to me, and I know I'm not alone in this, that Morris should be out of the starting five. Brown should be in. And with the spark you see last night, why hasn't that happened?
So I agree. I think Jaylen took a lot of the brunt of the anger for like why they were so poor at the start of the year. And really since, I'd say really January, maybe even before then, he's been really one of their better players. And it, you know, hasn't always translated and hasn't played a lot of big minutes coming off the bench. But he has been excellent, and he's probably earned the right to move back to that starting lineup. I think there's two things at play here. One is the Celtics have been pretty good starting games. And even yesterday, they sort of jumped out to that early lead. I think Brad likes what that starting unit has done as a whole since the Marcuses went in there. Certainly they had a pretty bad month in February and their net rating was in the negative. So I do think it's fair now to wonder if you need to tweak it back. And for me, it's not so much like the starting unit. It's just that the trickle-down effect when the reserve groups come in and you start having those problems, I just think something needs to be done. Something needs to be shaken it up. And, you know, maybe it takes a little bit of pressure off of Marcus Smart or Marcus Morris if you move them to the bench and give them sort of the reins over that second group. And certainly Jaylen deserves to go back up to that first unit. So I've thought all along that eventually they will get back to that original lineup, what do you want to call it, Erotic City or Newport 5 or whatever you want to dub it. The one with Jaylen Brown and Gordon Hayward, I think that's their most versatile, that's their most talented, most high-ceiling lineup they've got. And so I think they've got to eventually get back to that if they want to have success in the postseason. Brad's experimented with a little bit on the early sub But certainly Jaylen Brown deserves to move back into that spot.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear you say that. And I feel like, you know, there's been a thaw there. He plays the entirety of the fourth quarter last night. So I want to see it happen sooner than later. But let's get to Gordon Hayward, who was maybe the biggest negative. It's now 5 shot attempts in 2 games. And it's a bummer to see because of how well he played in the 2 games prior to the All-Star break. It's like, okay, he found himself, and now he's reverted back to bad Gordon from the first couple of months. Why has he been so tentative?
I don't know. You know, it's funny. I wish we could go back every week and listen to, like, what our temperature is on Gordon Hayward, because it's been all over the charts, but right. It's sort of a microcosm of the season. And this is why every time he sort of has 3 good games, I don't get too worked up about it, because I just think this is the way it's going to be. And, like, I think it's fair to wonder if maybe he'll find a little bit more consistency over these final 20 games, but nothing we've seen throughout the year has suggested that he's going to be able to sort of bottle it up. And that puts the Celtics in a tough spot, because I do think he's important to how much success they have. But honestly, I think that's why Brad leans on him so heavily here, because Brad recognizes that if the Celtics are going to do anything in the postseason, if they're going to find the consistency, they like desperately need to be able to lean on Gordon Hayward. And so that hasn't always been fair either. Like, he's played bigger minutes than Jaylen Brown down the stretch of games more often. And, you know, I do think we get a little too hung up on Gordon shooting. I would like to see him take more shots and be more aggressive, and certainly when he goes to the basket, that sort of tends to spur him a little bit. But right now, you know, because of the ankle woes, he's more of a jump shooter, and he's had to rely on that. When the shots don't fall, you know, we look at his stat line and say, 3 points, or, you know, whatever he had last night, it's not enough, and they certainly need more in the bigger picture. But I do think facilitating-wise, he's been good. I don't want to give him too much of an out here, but, like, you know, he still does positive things. He isn't quite the defensive liability he was at the start of the year when teams were really going at him. But I just think they realize, like, if this team is going to be successful, they've just got to give him that strength to try and fight through this. And, you know, ultimately, if you get to April and he just doesn't have it, then you can sort of, you know, limit his minutes and all that. But you just got to give him every chance now, especially if these last 20 games are nothing more than a test kitchen to figure out how to be the best version of yourself.
Chris, you touched on Jaylen Brown a little bit there. Do you think, I know he didn't shoot it necessarily well yesterday, but do you think just from an effort perspective, he's kind of turned a corner here in the last few games?
Yeah, oh, Jaylen Brown, like, I think since, like, the beginning of January, he's been really good. Like, if you look at his net rating, it's probably one of the better ones on the team, right up there with Kyrie and Tatum and those guys. And when you consider how bad the second unit has been, that's important. And so what he gives you defensively, especially, his versatility there, you know, that's going to be really important in the postseason. And so I do think he needs to be sort of see those minutes go up. He can be really impactful. And if he gets it going offensively, it's like, you know, that's another real key for them, is like we saw last postseason, you know, him and Tatum being able to go to that next level was key in their long run. They really need both of those guys to sort of play with confidence offensively. But for Jaylen, it really comes down to the defensive side. If he can hound like he did last night, I think Marcus Smart said it after the game, you know, I haven't seen Jaylen defend like that in a while. You know, one of the themes of the season has been every time out, it feels like someone's screaming at Jaylen Brown because he, like, blew a play or was out of the wrong position. But I think they recognize that he's got the ability, and, like, if he harnesses it, he can be a really impactful player. And so I think they just hold him to a really high level, and that'll be important moving forward.
Talking to Chris Forsberg, NBC Sports Boston, covers the Celtics. He's joining us here on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. It is the Sports Hub Celtics show. So the other calling card of this team this year, though, as you know, Chris, is the bitchiness and internal discourse. So with the talk this week after some of these hideous losses, the Bulls last Saturday and then Portland earlier this week, like, do you buy what you're hearing from some of these players after the game, specifically Kyrie Irving, when it's like, we'll just get to the playoffs, we'll flip the switch, we'll be fine?
First off, the post games have been way more entertaining than the actual games.
No,
like,
no.
I sit there in the third quarter, I'm just like, who's going to spout off today? What craziness are we going to hear? Even yesterday at shoot-around, like, Marcus Morris wasn't supposed to talk, and all he comes wandering over, and he's like, we're going to bring some soul back to this ass, and, you know, he's all fired up. And so I do think, like, from Kyrie's perspective, I thought it was the right approach. I think he recognized, like, nothing they can do in this regular season, nothing they can do over these last 20 games is going to repair the product they put out there. And, you know, we're not going to judge them based on what happened in the regular season. If they go on a long playoff run, we'll kind of forget all about this. And it'll be a little bit of a subplot, and, you know, why didn't it work in the regular season, but they figured it out when it mattered. So I kind of like how he's embraced it, because too many times this season they've had a bad loss and everybody comes into the locker room and starts, you know, complaining about it or pointing fingers, and it sort of throws gasoline on it. So I like this. At least he's sort of empowering the rest of the team and saying, you know, we're going to figure this out, you know. And now he put a lot of it on himself and said, we're going to win because I'm here. And But I do like the sort of irrational confidence of, you know, no team can beat us in a seven-game series. And, you know, maybe he's trying to talk himself into it. I don't think any of us look at this team and say they're capable of just romping through the East playoffs. But I do think they'll be competitive. And so if ultimately all you can do at this point is sort of build your confidence and try to get guys to buy into the idea of, there's the talent here, and we're going to figure this out. And if that makes things easier on people, I do like it. It will be fascinating to me if it maintains, because they got a tough stretch here coming up. And so, you know, like last night's win, I don't know how much stock you can put in that, but, you know, if they go out and get rolled by James Harden and then the tough West Coast trip, like, it's going to be really interesting to me how they react and if they continue to buy into this, let's just get to the postseason mantra.
What's the chemistry with this group like off the court compared to, I don't know, let's say like the Isaiah Thomas teams from a couple seasons ago? Like, do these guys enjoy hanging out with each other?
Well, like, even the Isaiah ones, like, there's this notion that they were like the best friends, and because they overachieved and did all that. I don't remember Isaiah and like Jay Crowder being best buds. Like, they all got along and they all fought for a common cause, but like, I don't think they were, you know, chummy and super hanging out off the court. Now, there's always going to be packs of guys and cliques and stuff like that. You know, certainly losing hasn't made the bonding process very easy on this team, and the fact that there was finger pointing and, you know, caused some tension, and Kyrie was just as much at fault for that as everybody else. I've never gotten the sense that they don't like each other. I've gotten the sense that they get really frustrated with each other, and that everyone's sort of individual agendas and individual goals sometimes conflict with everybody else's, and so that's created tension. And then they just, you know, the fact that they just haven't won, it makes everyone sort of moody and you know, we overreact to everything. We overly scrutinize everything that Kyrie does. And, you know, like, from a reporter standpoint, that's kind of fun. Like, you know, it like, what else are you going to do when they're playing poorly? But, I do think if they win, if they figure out how to play a good brand of basketball, like, the chemistry really doesn't matter. Like, as long as you can figure it out as a team, you'll be fine. I don't know if they were, like, you know, hanging out every night off the court, if it would be any better. It's just a matter of when they're on the court, they got to figure out how to make it work.
And before you let you go, Chris, because you were, you know, this is the kind of stuff, this is why you got to follow Chris Forsberg on Twitter, @ChrisForsberg_, because you bring out the stats like this. The Celtics 22-10 in games that Aaron Baines played with that top knot this season, and he gets his hair cut, and now he looks like an extra in Mad Max. So you're worried that they even go further in the tank because Baines got the haircut.
I feel like there has to be, like, a process which players go by to get this thing okayed before they do something irrational. Like, Baines literally had his 4-year-old son sit there with some shears and take that off just because his wife was like, maybe you should cut your hair. And I, like, there's too much at play here, whether it's Brad Stevens' tie or, you know, like, Kyrie's afro. Like, these players just can't be making these rash decisions when things are going wrong, because he could throw off the whole season. And so they've been really successful when Baines had that top knot. I'll be interested to see if they can maintain that high level of defensive intensity when he's out on the court with a shaved head. He looked like an overgrown Dr. Evil in that gray suit last night on the sideline. So I don't know. It's a risky situation. Like, listen, these Celtics can't mess around right at this point of the year.
Yeah, well, if nothing else, we know that weird Celtics Twitter will have fun with it. Hey, just because he's been day to day, is he going to play tomorrow? Like, when's he going to be back?
Yeah, I'd actually expect him to probably be out there on a minute restriction, but, like, we'll find out. They'll put out their injury report today. I'm guessing he'll be either questionable or probable. I think part of they've sort of been looking at that West Coast trip, but I wouldn't be surprised if he's out there tomorrow. And he will help. Like, as ridiculous as it sounds, I know he only plays 15 minutes a night, but, you know, when you think about what this team has struggled with in that second quarters and those middle quarters where, like, their defensive intensity wanes, he will help. So they do need him out there with whatever haircut he's got.
All right, Chris Forsberg, Celtics reporter for NBC Sports Boston. Again, on Twitter, @ChrisForsberg_. Always a pleasure talking to you, Chris.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
And Chris Forsberg coming to us courtesy of the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Tim McCone's going to get you caught up with the latest in the sports hub headlines, including news on the Patriots and the tight end position. Someone's going bye-bye. McCone is going to tell you about that. And I promise we'll get back to your calls here in the Sports Hub Celtics show, and we'll touch on the irrational overconfidence of one Marcus Smart when it comes to shooting threes. We'll get to all that next, coming up on the Sports Hub Celtics show here on 98.5 of Sports Hub.
Marcus Smart, another three. Got it. And with that, he ties Walter McCarty on the Celtics all-time three-pointer list. Seventh all-time.
Wow.
Next guy is Isaiah Thomas. Floats it out to Marcus Smart. Eight on the shot clock. Three in the air. Got it. Marcus Smart is 4 for 4 shooting threes tonight.
Felt amazing. Finally see some shots go down. And, it's good to get the win. It was good to see everybody playing together. It's good to see everybody feeling good. And, we just felt like ourselves. So it was really good.
All right. So Marcus Smart, 4 for 4 from three last night in the Celtics ho-hum win over the Washington Wizards. Again, yay, they stopped the losing streak. But, I mean, how much can we really take out of that? And I actually look at as what Marcus Smart did last night is kind of a negative. If I'm being completely honest, it is a Sports Hub Celtics show, 98.5 a Sports Hub. Jim Murray, no Chris Casper today. And the part of the negative is that it's the irrational overconfidence that Marcus Smart has in his shot. Like, that's not going to change. As I tweeted earlier this week, in that awful loss at the end of that awful loss against Portland, where he's chucking up an awful three, it's like, what are you doing? If we as a society each had the confidence of Marcus Smart shooting a three with 4 seconds off the shot clock, just imagine what we could accomplish. We could have world peace. We could already have we'd be living in somewhere in outer space. But it's not good when it just comes to Marcus Smart and his shot. Like, maybe, I don't know, if we're using common sense, again, the theme of the 3 hours of the show today, including the Sports Hub Celtics show, was just try to apply common sense to all the Boston sports stories that are going on right now. With Marcus Smart, like, common sense would dictate that the coach, Brad Stevens, the organization would just sit him down and say, like, just, dude, stop shooting. Just stop being so overconfident in your shot. We love everything else that you bring to the table, your winning plays, your diving all over the place, your tenacity on defense, your ability to frustrate and annoy. But with the shots, don't take it just because you feel like you can make it, and we obviously know that you can make every single one. But, again, that ain't going to change. Common sense, again, would dictate that he would stop shooting, but he's not going to. And I wanted to read from Celtics Wire, CelticsWire.USAtoday.com. This is from Nick Fryer, does good work for them. As you might have just heard there in coming back, Marcus Smart has now passed Walter McCarty. Dana Barros and Walter McCarty. And now stands alone at 7th in Celtics franchise history with 418 threes made. What's the shooting percentage, by the way, on that? It's crazy. He's made 418 threes. This from Nick Fryer here. He writes, again, up next on the list, Smart's old teammate Isaiah Thomas, who stands at 460. Now, if the season were to end after last night's game, Smart's average for three-pointers made in a season would sit at 83.6. Assuming Smart can maintain that average, by the end of his current contract, which has 3 more years on it, he'll make 668 three-pointers, which means he'll pass Avery Bradley. And that's not nearly mind-blowing on the surface, which would place him 5th all-time, as Nick Fryer writes here. But what's crazier, and you need to brace yourself for this, is that by the end of Marcus Smart's contract, whose name is, which he brilliantly writes here, is followed by dumb shot when you type it in Google. And again, how many times have you watched Marcus Smart shoot these threes like he did at the end of the game against Portland and say, no, Marcus, no! Nick Fryer writes, what's crazier, by the end of his contract, Marcus Smart should pass Larry Bird for 4th most three-pointers made in Celtics franchise history. It's bombs away with Marcus Smart. That's not going to change. Common sense will not be applied to his shot-making. If he stays on this pace, by the end of Marcus Smart's career, or at least his contract here, he will pass Larry Bird for 4th most three-pointers made in Celtics history. And I get it. We now live in a different NBA. It's threes over twos. That's the world that we live in, unfortunately, because everyone's going to shoot them. But that's gross. That's gross. And that I am not rooting for that to happen at all. Common sense should dictate that someone should go to Marcus Smart and maybe put a little shot call around his ankle, and they can control it when, okay, good three, wide open, take it. Sometimes, get him. No, that, you know, have him learn almost a Pavlovian response to shooting threes, or lack thereof. Passing Larry Bird, oh, God. When I read this last night, I had to read it again and again and again. I'm like, what? No, really? At this pace, he could pass? Gross. Let's go to some of your calls here as it pertains to the Celtics. This win last night, Cam and Taunton, you making much of this win last night over the gross Wizards?
No. I mean, look, it's good to get back in the win column because I think they were, I mean, reaching the point where they might not reach the fourth seed. And I like Marcus Smart yelling, "Let's go, Jalen," when he tried to say that ball out of bounds. Other than that, no, not really. But, Jim, do you fear Indiana in that first round without Oladipo, with or without home court?
Kind of. I actually do. That they haven't gone away since his injury and the way that they have played. I still don't understand how the hell that they're doing it, but it doesn't feel like they're going to be an easy out.
I think this whole contingent on playing Philly, and Philly's a half game behind Indiana now. And if you join Indiana in that first round, you don't have home court. I don't know how to feel about that. But my further thing is, if Gordon Hayward's playing like this, you can't put him out there in the playoffs. You know what Philly and Harris is going to do to him? They're going to keep putting him in pick and roll, getting Harris and Simmons, and they're going to abuse him. If he's playing defense like this, you cannot put him out there in the playoffs.
It's a good point, and it's something that I would hope that they would consider. But again, looking at the track record this season, even when he looks like as much of a defensive liability as he has in this recent little stretch here since they come back in the All-Star break, I would think, common sense again, if we're going to apply common sense to the Boston sports stories and what's going on with him, that Brad Stevens would look at it and say, okay, he was my boy. I had him at Butler. I picked him up at the airport in the Prius. That didn't happen, by the way. I just like saying it for effect. I'm going to have Sammy Ojeleye play over him because he's a better defensive player right now than Gordon Hayward in the playoffs. He's going to get more minutes than Gordon Hayward going forward here in whatever this playoff run is going to be. Common sense would dictate that, but I don't think that's going to happen. He's too invested in Gordon Hayward. The team as a whole and what the money that they spent on him, they're too invested in Gordon Hayward. But he has looked like a complete and utter disaster since they've come back from the All-Star break. Ugh. And it's such a shame, too, considering how well he played in the two games prior. Steve in Salem, I've been hanging a bit. Appreciate that. You're next here on the Sports Hub Celtics Show. Hey, Steve.
What's up, Murray?
What's going on?
Hey, listen. I make no bones about it. I'm not a Kyrie guy. And this is why I don't want to see the Celtics re-sign him. All right? So I'm going to use your theme of applying logic and common sense to the whole discussion. All right? So let me ask you this. How many points per game does Kyrie Irving average?
Is this season, was it around 22?
22. Okay, I actually thought it was a little higher. I thought it was about 25, but...
You're probably right. Anyway. I don't have a number in front of me, but I know it's in the low to mid-20s.
Okay, so let's say the Celtics don't re-sign Kyrie Irving, okay? If you gave Marcus Smart Kyrie Irving's minutes, in other words, like 30-plus minutes a game, at his best, how many points per game do you think Marcus Smart could average?
Don't make me do math, Steve. Just get to your point, please.
Well, okay. So let's say, do you think Marcus Smart could average 15 points per game on his best season?
Oh, just by, chucking away? Yeah, sure. Absolutely.
Okay. So this is what it comes down to in a nutshell, all right? It comes down to 10 points, 10 points per game. So without Kyrie Irving, you're missing 10 points per game scoring, but you don't have to deal with any of his drama, any of his BS. And do you think that they could redistribute those 10 points between Smart, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, Gordon Hayward?
Maybe. And, Steven, thanks for the call. And I get your point because I know you're not alone. Like, there's the people that just want to move on from Kyrie because of the drama and all the nonsense. And there's some nights where he's essentially like a no-show. which it shouldn't happen, but it does. They're going to have to make it. All I know is this. They're going to have to make a decision. There's no half measures here coming this offseason. They have to either be fully invested in trying to get Kyrie back and bringing in Anthony Davis and trying to appease him that way, or they're just going to have to say, bye-bye. You took a swing and a miss in terms of making this deal with Cleveland and bringing him in, and it didn't work out, and he wants to go to New York, and you just build the kids, and you have to build up their confidence again in Brown and Tatum and everybody else. And you say goodbye to Terry Rozier or maybe bring him back, but I'd rather them say goodbye. Or maybe you bring in a Kemba Walker or someone like that. Like, I don't know. But there's not going to be any half measures here. This seems like untenable. Like, you're going to have to stick with Kyrie and the superstars. That's the route that I want to go, I think. I don't know. With this ugly stretch here prior to last night, like, this is really starting to get a little bit gross. And my mind is starting to get changed just a wee bit. Or you go with the kids. But it is a superstar-driven league. You deal with the pain in the ass. It happens all over the league, and I think that you have a better route to a championship and actually winning the damn thing if it's Kyrie and Anthony Davis and whatever remaining spare parts like Marcus Smart, and you go forward from there. It's 23.4, by the way, is the points per game for Kyrie. So I was close. I said 22. I promise we will get to more of your phone calls here. Got a couple open lines. You want to talk about the Celtics, Kyrie Irving, how this team's bitchiness continues behind the scenes. 617-779-0985. We'll touch a little bit more on Kyrie Irving coming up as well here on the Sports Hub Celtics Show, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
This is the Sports Hub Celtics Show.
This is Kyrie Irving on the home of the Boston Celtics, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
And more, a $400 value for just $99. Buy the Mass Tour card and receive 9 rounds of golf at premier courses for $99, a limited time only. Buy today at masstourcard.com.
It's an hour dedicated to your Celtics. Chris Gasper, Jim Murray, the Sports Hub Celtics Show on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
He doesn't sound like he's having fun. Doesn't sound like he wants to be there at all.
Thank you.
So, look, I think obviously what is going on with that team dynamic is obviously some of the reason why he's acting or responding the way he is right now, just being snarky with the media.
Yes.
Being dismissive. But I've been around Kyrie. He gets like that. And I covered him when he was in Cleveland.
Yes.
With LeBron.
Okay, so let's talk about that.
Well, I've said this, you know, Kyrie was always, for me, one of the toughest players to cover, you know, because he would get in those moods to where if he's not feeling the environment, if he's unhappy, everybody's going to feel it.
Okay, so Ed, that's what Marcus Smart said the other night. He's like, we're not getting along. Yeah. We're not communicating. So you found Kyrie to be, is moody fair?
More than fair.
Yeah, I think it's more than fair as well. That's Chris Haynes, Yahoo senior NBA insider, who was on with Colin Cowherd on The Herd earlier this week. Of course, talking about Kyrie Irving. It is the Sports Hub Celtics Show, 98.5 of Sports Hub. No Chris Gasper today, as Gasper is out covering the NFL Combine in Indianapolis. So it's just you at 617-779-0985. You want to unpack some thoughts about the Celtics, who stopped their 4-game losing streak last night with a ho-hum win over the Washington Wizards. But, hey, at least they stopped the bleeding. But the drama seemingly continuing, and, boy, what an ugly stretch there, those 4 losses leading into last night's game. And just, like, complete no-shows, too. The game in Toronto earlier this week, the loss against the Portland Trail Blazers, where it's just you see quit in the bitchiness from Kyrie Irving as well. Like, I'm somewhat firmly in the camp of appease the superstar, kiss his ass, do what you got to do to bring him back. I think it should be Kyrie Irving, Anthony Davis, you know, try to make that deal, try to convince him, or at least for one season, you could be all in. It gives you your best opportunity to actually win the title. And then in terms of the future, who knows? But I'm about titles. Never mind longevity. Screw your 401k. I'm about the now. But I can understand, like, why some of you are just like, no, I've had enough here, and this is not going to work, and he doesn't want to be here. And he's just, he is a strange, mercurial dude. And I wonder, too, if the team might be, maybe I'm reading too much into this, but I've seen some people tweet about it in the last 24 to 48 hours, starting with the media reporter for the Boston Globe, Chad Finn. The Celtics started to, like, back off in terms of their ass-kissing a little bit, or maybe this has to do with Nike and scheduling. I don't know, but what happened to the commercial with Kyrie and his dad? The one where he's out there shooting around in the garden. It's just him and his dad alone. And, you know, it's about retiring in Boston and having his number in the rafters. Anyone seen that commercial recently? Unless you went and looked for it on YouTube. Poof, just disappeared. So, I don't know. Might be reading too much into it. It's what we do here in sports radio. I can't help myself. I'm always reading too much in Instagram posts and social media and things like that. But I haven't seen that in a while. Maybe they're getting a little sick of his crap, too. But just because they won last night, I don't feel like everything's fixed. It can help a little bit. And I don't necessarily buy what Kyrie and some of the other guys are saying, like, bah, talk to us in the playoffs. We'll be able to fix it. Because this is who they are. We're now, you know, over 60 games. Their inconsistency. What you saw against Toronto, what you saw against the Portland Trailblazers, and the bitchiness after the game in the post-game press conferences, like that's who they are. That's who they really are. Their little winning streaks when Gordon Hayward's looked good for a couple of games or anything's all puppy dogs and rainbows. Those are the anomalies, unfortunately. It's just been such a gross season for them overall, considering what the expectations were, and not even locally. Nationally, like, this team was supposed to be the clear-cut favorite coming out of the East. They were supposed to go to the finals and maybe even give Golden State a run for their money. And I do think that they, even with the bitchiness, continue to be able to match up with them well. But I don't know, man. Like, I just think it's Milwaukee's year. I think they get knocked out in the second round, and I'm not coming off of that at all. I kind of declared them dead in terms of the East now a couple of weeks back, week and a half ago, and I ain't coming off that because what I've seen, what I saw through most of this week, that's really who they are. And it's funny, too, when they played Toronto, just the juxtaposition between him and Kawhi Leonard, because they're essentially in the same exact situation. It dawned on me. Like, after Kyrie's latest bitchiness after that game, or after, you know, the Chicago game, too, just, like, the juxtaposition there is between him and Kawhi Leonard. And in other words, like, Kawhi, like Kyrie, also a free agent, also a name superstar, but you don't see any headlines about Kawhi Leonard, do you, this season? No, because he's not out there running his mouth after every damn game. It's just short, boring answers. He's the consummate professional. And granted, I'm sure winning helps that too, but it's not about where's he going next. There's some speculation. You still maybe have some interest in going to the Clippers. Do you want to match up with another superstar in New York? It's none of that. It's just consummate professionalism, plays. You can maybe get on him for missing, I think it's he's missed 15, 16 games, something like that. But still, you don't really hear a peep. With Kyrie, it's seemingly something every single night. It's like, oh, God. Like, can be a lot, but the talent's there, and the talent's worth the trouble, as it is in the NBA. I promise we'll get right to your phone calls here. Quick reset. We now welcome in Sarge on the Sports Hub headlines. He's got some news for about the Patriots and something they did today. They're using some common sense. In fact, that's been the theme today. I'll reset on that. But Sarge will get you caught up with the news. Come back and we'll kick off the final hour of Gasper Murray here on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
The Dave McGilvery Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information. Looking for hope? House of Possibilities offers children and adults with disabilities a path to greater independence. From social to recreational programs to overnight respite and career and community access opportunities, House of Possibilities is changing the way people see disabilities and their program participants see themselves. Visit houseofpossibilities.org to learn more or to support their work. That's houseofpossibilities.org. House of Possibilities. See what belonging can do.